Greetings, everyone. Welcome to Day 6 of the Feast of Tabernacles 2011. My time sure goes by fast, doesn't it? Yes, indeed. Well, tomorrow will be the last day of the Feast of Tabernacles, and then we will have the last great day. So let's continue on with what the millennium is going to be like. And this time it will be, what is the work of Christ and the bride? Because we're going to work together to help bring Israel back, to help teach all nations. And so let's see what the work of Christ and the bride will be. We know in Revelation 11, so let's turn there, because we will look at a couple of scriptures in the book of Revelation. So let's turn to Revelation 19, and let's see where it talks about the marriage of the Lamb and the wedding supper of the Lamb, and also where it talks about then the return of Christ to the earth. And of course, that's going to be the bride and Christ and the armies and everything that is there. So it's going to be something here. All right. Now, we have to go back to just before the Feast of Trumpets and on the Sea of Glass. Let's pick it up here in verse 1 of Revelation 19. And after these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! That means praise God. The salvation, the glory, and the honor, and the power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he has judged the great whore who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And they said a second time, Hallelujah! So we're going to see that they say it four times here because of what is going. These are momentous events, and this sets up, as we will see, what is going to be the work of Christ and the bride through all the millennium. So this is quite a thing, isn't it? Yes, indeed. And they said a second time, Hallelujah! And her smoke shall ascend upwards into the ages of eternity. So once it escapes out of the atmosphere of the earth, the particles of the smoke will go on and on and on. Verse 24. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who sits on the throne, saying, Amen. Hallelujah. Now, let's answer the question, a great multitude, because it says in the King James Version that of much people in heaven. Well, that's not a bad translation, but the people who are in heaven are those who have been perfected and glorified. All right? Now let's pick it up here in verse 5. And a voice came forth from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all his servants, all who fear him, both small and great. And I heard a voice like that of a great multitude, or much people, and like the sound of many waters and the sound of mighty thunder, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty has reigned. Let us be glad and shout with joy. Let us give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. Now we're going to be the wife, but we have to make ourselves ready. Now verse 5, and a voice came forth from the throne, saying, Praise our God, all his servants, all you who fear him, small and great. And I heard a voice like that of a great multitude and sound of many waters, the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God Almighty has reigned. Let us be glad and shout with joy and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And it was granted that she should be clothed in fine linen, pure and bright, for the fine linen is the righteousness of the saints. So we have to make ourselves ready. We've already talked about that, how we grow and change and overcome with the Spirit of God and so forth. Now, verse 9, and he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Now come over here to Revelation 22. And after we see the things concerning New Jerusalem and so forth, then we come to a section where then it talks about Christ and the bride and again, Christ being the Spirit here. Verse 16, Revelation 22, I, Jesus, sent my angel to testify these things to you and the churches. That's why the book Revelation is so important. And isn't it interesting that only the wise in the churches, those who love God and obey Him, have been granted the understanding of the book of Revelation? Isn't that something? So it is to you in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who thirsts, come. And let the one who desires to partake of the water of life freely, let them come. So what is the work of the bride and Christ? Well, kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Now let's come back here to Isaiah, the 55th chapter. And here's what's going to go out. Here is a time of preaching the gospel. The whole world, all nations are going to learn. Now they're not all going to submit at once. But God is first going to deal with Israel, the nations of Israel, and then those nations that come up to Jerusalem that say, come, let us go up to the house of Jacob, to the house of God, the God of Jacob, and he will teach us of his ways, for the law shall go forth from Zion. All right? Well, here, there's also going to go personal salvation, too. So let's pick it up here. Let's come to Isaiah 55, and we will see what it's going to be. Now, we're going to see a little later that this is going to be very effective because the human heart is going to be changed back to what it was before Adam and Eve sinned. But here's a message that's going to go out. Ho! Everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Now the water is the Spirit of God. The water is the life that comes from God. And he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for that which is not bread, and you labor for that which never satisfies? Hearken diligently to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul be satisfied with fatness. Now, eating what is good, not only is it going to be the physical things, because God is going to restore all things back as they were. As we started out in the first of the Feast of Tabernacles, the restoration of all things. That means the restoration of the planet, restoration then of the plants, of the food, of the animals, and how we saw that it's going to be a phenomenal thing, that the nature of animals likewise is going to be changed. So he says here, verse 3, bow down your ear, that is listen, and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Now King David is going to be there. Christ is going to be there. The bride is going to be there. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob will be there. Abel and Enoch and Noah will be there. So it's going to be a fantastic time indeed, and all of us are going to have a part of the work of Christ. Each one according as God determines. So that's going to be a wonderful thing indeed, and we can look forward to it. All right. Now, let's continue on here. Let's come to Zechariah 14. Let's see how it's going to start out since we're getting close to the end of the feast. Let's go back and recapitulate a little bit. Let's come here to Zechariah 14, and we are going to see something that is really something. Zechariah 14. Okay, we'll get there. Now, remember, Zechariah is close to where the Psalms are in the Bible in its original order. All right, Zechariah 14. We have already read and know that Christ and the saints are going to come to the earth. Christ is going to be king over the earth. Now, one of the first things that they are going to do is this. They are going to learn how to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And isn't it interesting that the first thing they're going to do is be keeping the feast? Wonderful. Okay? So right away, the whole world's going to start keeping God's ways. Now, that's going to be a great thing indeed. Never happened before in the history of the whole world. Now, let's see this beginning in verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came up against Jerusalem, that is to fight against it, shall even go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now it's going to be the law of the land. Not like today, everyone doing what is right in their own eyes. And they're going to learn to enjoy the feast. Now right at first, some of them won't want to do that because they have to be convinced that Christ and the bride and all of the resurrected saints are not invaders from outer space. Oh, Christ will convince them of it real quickly. Verse 17, and it shall be, whoever will not come up from all the families of the earth to Jerusalem. Now, obviously, everybody in the world is not going to go to Jerusalem, that's for sure. But we can know that there are going to be representatives from the countries going up there, and that being the case, we can also understand that the people in the nations back home will be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles too. And I wonder what that is going to be like, the whole world keeping the Feast of Tabernacles. That is going to be something. Remember, then on, no more Sunday keeping, no more Halloween, Christmas, Easter, New Year's, none of that. That's all gone. That's all destroyed. Now here's the family of Egypt, and God has always had a difficult time with Egypt. Let's put it the other way around. Egypt has always had a difficult time with God. So Egypt, our Egyptians, are hard-headed. And if the family of Egypt that has no rain, because they have a desert climate, does not come up to present themselves, this shall be the plague with which the Lord shall strike the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Amazing. It's going to take a while to get everybody going here, isn't it? This shall be Egypt's punishment and the punishment of all the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Egypt, not going to have any rain. Okay? Egypt, which has no rain, is going to have the plague. All the rest, they're going to have the rain cut off. Now, God uses the same weapons he has always used to punish people and to convince them that they need to repent. But that's a deliberate choice that they have to make. Now think of the Egyptians right at the beginning of the millennium. And think of the hatred that they have had toward the Jews. And think how absolutely galling this is going to be for them to come to Jerusalem, send a representative to Jerusalem to keep the Feast of Tabernacles, and for them to keep the Feast of Tabernacles in Egypt. That's going to be something. Think about those in Iran. Think about those in China and India. What's it going to be for them? It's going to be something. So God is going to convince them. Yes, there is, it says in Isaiah, the second chapter, that there are great nations far off that he has to use power against them until they beat their plowshares into that they will beat their weapons and swords into plowshares and into pruning hooks. And they aren't going to learn war anymore. Toys of Us or Us will be out of business. Little G.I. Joe, never be heard from again. All of the monster toys that people have, never going to be again. All of the movies of destruction and hell and damnation, never going to be again. See? So we're going to have quite a work we need to do. Let's look at some other things here in the book of Zechariah. All right? Let's come, first of all, to the book of Zephaniah. Now, that just back a little bit. You go toward the front of the Bible, Zechariah, Habakkuk, and then you have the little book of Zephaniah, right before that, okay? Zephaniah, you go Zechariah, Haggai, Zephaniah. And let's come to chapter 3 and verse 14. Zephaniah 3 and verse 14. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. All the Jews and all the 10 tribes of Israel are going to be joyful. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has turned away your judgments. He has cast out your enemies. The King of Israel, the Lord, is in your midst, and you shall not fear evil any more. That's how the millennium is going to be working all during the 1,000 years. In that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, fear not. Do not let your hands be slack, O Zion. The Lord your God is mighty in your midst. He will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in you in his love. He rejoices over you with singing. Gather the ones who grieve over the appointed feast, who are among you, and lift the burden of reproach from her. Boy, won't the Jews be glad when that is lifted. And all they have gone through for centuries, God is going to take care of that. Now, verse 19. Behold, at that time I will deal with all those who afflict you. Lebanon, Egypt, Libya, Tunisia, Turkey, all those, the Arab states, okay? I will save her who is lame and gather her who was driven out, and I will give them praise and fame in all the land where they have been put to shame. And I will bring you, even in the time that I gather you, and I will give you for a name and for a praise among all the people of the earth, when I turn back your captivity before your eyes, says the Lord. So that's going to be something, isn't it? The way God is going to bring the peace, it's going to have to be some power, execution, rod of iron, that's going to have to be used. And doesn't he say to the churches that I will give you a rod of iron, and with it you shall rule over the nations and smite them? So if they don't obey, they're going to learn. They're going to learn one thing for sure. You ain't going to fight against God. No way. See? So it's not something. We're going to have a part of bringing that and bringing peace to the world. All right, now back to Zechariah. Now that we know where we are with all these things, back to Zechariah. Let's come here to Zechariah 8, and let's pick it up here in verse 7. So here's the mass exodus that's going to happen to bring everybody back and put them in their own lands, regardless of where they are. Now this applies here to the children of Judah and the children of Israel, but God's going to do it to all nations. Verse 7. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country. And I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. All the religions of men will be gone. All of phony Christianity will be in a trash bin. All of Judaism will be absolutely abolished, because Judaism is not the law of God. Verse 9, thus says the Lord of hosts, let your hands be strong, you who hear in these days these words by the mouth of the prophets, that in the day of the foundation of the house of the Lord of hosts is laid, the temple is to be built. And of course, we saw what that temple will be like. It's actually going to be a big tabernacle. Now, come over here to Zechariah 8 and verse 11. Let's come down here. Okay? Now, I will not be to the remnant of this people as in the former days, says the Lord of hosts. For they shall sow in peace, the vine shall give its fruit, the ground shall give its increase, the heavens shall give their due, and I will cause the remnant of this people to possess all these things. And it shall come to pass that as you were a curse among all nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so I will save you, and you shall be a blessing. Do not fear. Let your hands be strong. So isn't that something? We're also going to see what they're going to do. There's going to be plenty of work. Remember, when we come back to this earth is a desolation because of the wars, because of the plagues, because of the things that God has done in shaking the earth and the heavens and the sea and the land, and in destroying the armies. I mean, it's going to be something. So they're all going to come back, and they're all going to have to start to work, and they're all going to have to get all these things done together. Okay. Now let's come here to Micah. Nope, we'll go to Zechariah 10 first, since we're right here in Zechariah. Zechariah 10 and verse 6. Now here's what he's going to do in bringing the children of Israel back. Verse 6, and I will strengthen the house of Judah, the Jews, and I will save the house of Joseph, Ephraim and Manasseh, U.S. and the UK, and I will return to save them, for I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. For I am the Lord their God, and I will answer them. Great things are going to take place. And remember, Christ and the bride are going to do this together. Christ is going to direct it, and the saints are going to carry it out. Verse 7 now, Ephraim shall be like a mighty one, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine, and their children shall see and be glad, and their hearts shall rejoice in the Lord. I will signal for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they formerly increased. And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in a distant country, and they shall live with their children, and they shall return. Then he says he's also going to bring those out of Egypt who are in Egypt. All right. Now, let's come to Micah, the 7th chapter. Micah 7 and verse 16. What's going to happen is this. Some of the nations are going to be ashamed at the things that they did. And that's why they're going to repent. These will be the ones who will come up to Jerusalem to find out how to live according to God's laws. They won't have to have the rod of iron. They won't have to be rebuked afar off, those nations afar off, strong nations, as it says the Lord will have to do. Now let's pick it up here in verse 16, Micah 7. All right. The nations shall see and be ashamed at their might. They shall lay their hand on their mouths, and their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick dust like a snake. They shall move out of their holes like a worm of the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of you. Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity and passes over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He does not keep his anger forever because he delights in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion on us. He will subdue our iniquities. Yea, he will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea and will perform the truth to Jacob and the mercy of Abraham, which you have sworn to our fathers from the days of old. Now you see, remember what Peter said, that the words of all of the prophets will be fulfilled, and they will be fulfilled in their time. And isn't it interesting and fantastic that this is the work of Christ and the bride? Think about it. Look at the world the way that it is today. Look at the warring and fighting and scheming and politics and lies and religions and cheating and all of the things that are going on. God has called us, who are going to be the bride of Christ, to put an end to it. Christ is going to do it. He's going to give the command. It will happen. And we will carry it out. Quite a thing, quite a calling. Let's understand how great that is, okay? Now let's come down here to Isaiah 52. You know, isn't it interesting how much about the kingdom is written in the prophets? And isn't it interesting that we need the book of Revelation to get the timing on how these things will take place? Let's come here to Isaiah 52, and let's see some more about what's going to happen, the work of Christ and the bride. Isaiah 52. Let's pick it up here in verse 1. All right. We're going to participate in these things. So as I read these things, let's understand the great work that God is going to do. And the reason we know it's going to be the work of God is because God is the one who puts the whole world in the shambles that it will be in because of the mighty plagues that he will bring upon it. And he, in turn, is going to heal it all. Isaiah 52, awake, awake. Put on your strength, O Zion. Put on your beautiful robes, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For never again shall come to you the uncircumcised and the unclean ones. Shake yourself from the dust. Rise up. Sit, O Jerusalem. Free yourself from your neck bands, O captive daughter of Zion. For thus says the Lord, you were sold for nothing, and you shall be redeemed without money. For thus says the Lord God, my people went down at first into Egypt to sojourn there, and the Assyrians oppressed them without cause. Now therefore, what have I here, says the Lord? My people are taken away for nothing. Those who rule over them howl, and without ceasing my name is blasphemed. Therefore my people shall know my name, thus it shall be in that day, for I am he who speaks, behold, it is I. Now notice, verse 7, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings, the gospel, who publishes peace and brings good news, who publishes salvation, who says to Zion, your God reigns. Now that's going to be absolutely phenomenal when that takes place. You know, if we can just kind of visualize the world and the globe and kind of look down upon it and look down where the Holy Land is and then look where the children of Israel have been scattered, and God is going to bring them all back. No longer have to be afraid. No longer have to worry about those things. God heals their wounds. God raises them up. God brings them back. And what a tremendous thing that this is going to be. All right, now let's see some of these things here. Let's see how it's going to be. Since we're here in Isaiah, let's come to Isaiah 35. And let's see some other things. Isn't it amazing how much of this is in the book of Isaiah? Isaiah 35. I could almost do an entire Feast of Tabernacles, all 7 days, using mainly the book of Isaiah and nothing else, and preach for all 7 days. That's how much there is concerning the fulfillment of the Feast of Tabernacles and the plan of God. So when the disciples read these things, no wonder they kept asking Jesus, well, is the kingdom of God going to come now? And the very last thing they asked him on the 40th day before he ascended into heaven for the second and final time, they said, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said, it's not for you to know the times or seasons that are in the authority of the Father. You go preach. So now here we are able to understand some of these things. Now here, let's pick it up in Isaiah 35. Here's what's going to happen. The whole world is going to change and get progressively better ecologically, religiously, politically, individually, for 1,000 years. Isaiah 35. The wilderness and the desert shall be glad, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the majesty of our God. No longer, where is their God? No longer, is there a God? Oh, God has become obsolete. No, God is right there carrying out his will. So he says, verse 3, make the weak hands strong, make the feeble knees sure. Say to those of a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, which he did. With the full recompense of God, he will come and save you. Salvation for the whole world. Think of what a glorious thing that is, brethren, that we have been called and chosen to do that. The future elite of the world under Jesus Christ. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, physically and spiritually. The ears of the deaf shall be unstopped, physically and spiritually. Then the lame shall leap like a deer, the tongue of the dumb shall sing, for in the wilderness waters shall break out, and streams in the desert. It is going to be a magnificent thing when the curse of the sin is removed from men and animals and the land. What a glorious thing that is going to be, brethren. Now we're going to see what a fantastic thing that is going to be. We're reading of it right here. Verse 7, the parched ground shall become like a pool, and the thirsty land shall become like springs of water in the home of jackals in its lair, and it shall be a place for the reed and the rush. And there shall be a highway there, and a way which shall be called the Way of Holiness, the way to receive eternal life. That's what we're going to teach. That's going to be something. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it will be for him who walks in the way, but fools shall not err in it. No lion shall be there, nor any beast of prey shall go up on it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransom of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. The very purpose of mankind on this earth being fulfilled to the fullness with God's Spirit, the work of Christ, and the bride. So this is going to be absolutely a marvelous and a great thing. Let's come over here now to Isaiah 61. Now in Isaiah 61, we find some great things that are said here, and what's going to happen, and we're going to see how these things are going to be worked out, and how it relates to us as well. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. This is the mission of Christ, his first coming, his second coming. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord and the vengeance of our God, and to comfort all who mourn. All humanity. Now think of all the pitiful pictures of little children starving, living in these countries naked and destitute. Think about all of those who had their parents killed. Think about all the starvation and everything that had gone on. And now, here comes the solution. Here's what's going to be, verse 3. To appoint those who mourn in Zion, giving to them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the mantle of praise for the spirit of heaviness, so that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they will build the waste places and raise up the desolations of former times, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. And that's going to be the activity that we are going to do. Isn't that something? That is great. Okay. Come over here to chapter 60 and verse 15. Instead of being forsaken and hated, so that no one passes through, I will make you an eternal excellent, a joy of many generations. Now notice how abundant this is going to be. You talk about peace and prosperity. You talk about riches and wealth. You talk about magnificent things being done for people. Notice verse 16. You will also suck the milk of the nations and suck the breast of kings. Now that's talking about those of us who are going to be kings and priests. And you shall know that I, the Lord your God, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Now here's what we're going to bring to the society. It's going to be far different than what the governments of this world can supply. Look at the wealth we have today. It's all tenuous. It's all based on lies. And when they get it into the digital form with no more currency, then they can do anything they want to with it. Well, God is not going to be that way. See, God is going to wipe out that system. Verse 17, for bronze I will bring gold, for iron I will bring silver, for wood I will bring bronze, and for stones iron, and I will make also your overseers to be peace and your rulers to be righteousness. No more lies, no more cheating. Matter of fact, we'll be there, and we will teach them the way of God. And if they start going the way that they shouldn't, we'll show them how what to do and the way to go. Okay? Let's go ahead and take a break, and we'll pick it up here in just a bit.